Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to ModPath Chat, the official podcast of Modern Pathology, featuring interviews with authors and experts on the latest science, technology, and developments in the field of pathology. Your host, Dr. George Netto, is the editor-in-chief of Modern Pathology and the chair of pathology at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. Here's Dr. Netto.
Welcome to a new episode of ModPath Chat. I'm thrilled to be joined today by Professor Richard Scholier. Professor Scholier is a senior staff specialist at the Tissue Pathology and Diagnostic Oncology Department in Royal Prince Alfred Hospital in Sydney, Australia. Just for the record, 12-hour difference right now, so he had to wake up very early, but he's very excited to be here, I'm hoping so. He also serves as a co-medical director of the Melanoma Institute Australia, and that's an amazing role for a pathologist given the clinical implication on his patient. And we're going to have Richard another time to tell us, to have an episode just telling us about his role there. Richard is here today to discuss his team's recent publication in Modern Path on the prognostic role of regression in cutaneous melanoma. Thank you, Richard, for accepting my invitation.
Thank you, George. I'm thrilled to be here. And first of all, congratulations on all that you're doing with the journal Modern Pathology, the leading journal in surgical pathology.
Thank you. Thank you. You're very generous. So to jump in straight to the topic, in a way of background, can you define for us or can you share with us your definition for the sake of this study of regression? Because reading your paper, I realize that goes back to Clark's time and things are not everybody call regression the same way.
Yeah, Clark, that, Wallace Clark and David Elder did a lot of work in regression many, many moons ago. So regression, basically what it represents is the result of the body's immunological response directed against the tumor, which results in loss of part or all of the tumor. So in this case, melanoma. We see that on the skin, on lesions clinically, melanomas as they regress, and that's recognized as a pale area usually. And we also recognize it when we look down the microscope. We think of regression as a temporal phenomenon, so it changes over time, and we divide it into three temporal phases. Early phase regression is recognized by the presence of tumor-infiltrating lymphocytes that are getting to the tumor and attack the tumor cells, so that's likely the first manifestation of regression, but we usually subclassify that separately in melanoma as a TILS infiltrate. If that immunological response is effective, it will result in loss of part of the melanoma. And the initial part of regression is we recognize that histologically by early fibrosis. So immature granulation type tissue with new blood vessels where there's no tumor present within a focus within the tumor. late regression is defined as when we have more mature fibrosis. So like, it looks more like an older scar. And typically, the overlying epidermis shows loss, thinning of the epidermis with loss of reti ridges. And often, you get pigment-laden macrophages associated with the fibrotic tissue, which is the macrophages gobbling up the melanin pigment that's been released from the tumor cells as they've been killed off by the body's immune response. Now, each of these phases are not independent. You can get all of them within one tumor at the same time. So that's basically what we define regression as. It's been recognized for a long time in melanoma because I guess we can see it on the skin surface. And it's been controversial, its role in prognosis in melanoma since it was originally defined histologically. I think the balance of evidence has suggested it's a good prognostic factor. Some studies have said it's had no prognostic impact, and other studies have said it's indicates a worse prognosis.
So that's
basically why we did the study.
Exactly, because that was going to lead to my next question, is what led you or motivated you to do the study. So the debate, you wanted to put an end to that debate with really a huge cohort, a single institution, I believe is almost 8,700 consecutive cases, amazing, 8,693. So in one institute, so excellent cohort in terms of how it's been treated and managed. And so tell us how, what did you look at and what were your salient findings?
Yeah, George, before we get into the study, there's one other bit of evidence that I'd really be keen to share with you and the listeners. It's related to we've known in melanoma that the immune system can get activated against melanoma for many years. And I think most people have accepted that a TILS infiltrate was associated with a favorable prognosis, but not so much regression. And just to highlight that the really importance of the immune system in melanoma, particularly TILS infiltrate. If we look at the evidence from the TCGA, the Cancer Genome Atlas project in melanoma, so this was a project that funded by the US government through the NIH as part of the stimulus program for the GST. I think $25 million was poured into melanoma, and I was fortunate to lead a group of pathologists that were involved in that. Anyway, $25 million worth of complex genomic analyses were done on the melanomas. The single strongest predictor of outcome in this study was not the $25 million of multi-omic studies. It was pathologist assessment of TILS infiltrates, which is pretty incredible, but it shows the importance of observations of pathologists and their impact into disease outcomes.
I just wanted
to share that as a bit of background.
Wonderful piece of information. Wow. So I noticed, and you know, and you may want to, you're going to elaborate on that you were looking at TIL and then the, what you call the intermediate and late phase regression. So TIL and regression, whether they synergize or is each one by itself a prognostic. So which to me, the way you framed it is a progression from one to another. Is interesting how the different phases may have a different implication, especially at the higher stage disease. So let's talk about the findings. What were your there were some expected and some unexpected, as I gather.
Yeah, so this was a study that was led by one of our fellows, Karina Avazian. And as you say, we looked at almost 9,000 consecutive patients. And I guess, as you might expect, that the presence of regression, so intermediate and late regression, was associated with some features in the primary tumor, so lower Breslow thickness, lower mitotic grade, and absence of ulceration. So, you know, they're more favorable prognostic features on their own. But when we looked for features that were associated with outcome, the presence of regression was predicted survival. So progression-free survival and also melanoma-specific and overall survival. And it was and it independently predicted outcome independent of all those other features that I've mentioned. So in our cohort, we know in melanoma, in general terms, the strongest predictor of outcome is the Breslow thickness, our measurement from the top of the granule layer to the deepest invasive cell. In general terms, that's the strongest predictor of outcome. The second strongest is the presence or absence of ulceration, and the third or equal second strongest predictor is the mitotic rate, the number of mitoses per millimeter squared. So as far as pathological parameters in primary melanoma, they're the strongest predictors, but there's many others. In this particular study, regression on its own was independently predictive of outcome, as were tumor-infiltrating lymphocytes, so a sort of early regression, if you like. Mm-hmm. And when we combined both TILs and intermediate and late regression, so those two patients who had those two features together, they had the strongest predictor of outcome independent of all other features. So wow. It was a stronger predictor, even greater than Breslow thickness, ulceration, and mitotic rate. So highlighting the importance of the immune system in modifying disease outcomes in melanoma. I hope I've explained that clearly and it makes sense. But bottom line is TILs and regression are strong independent predictors of more favorable outcome in melanoma. If you've got TILs, if you've got regression, you do better. So they had a lower incidence of positive sentinel node involvement, a lower frequency of recurrence of their melanoma, and favorable long-term outcomes if you have TILs and regression.
What you're saying, regression, I think, in terms of predicting sentinel lymph node or so positivity, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you mentioned sentinel node status. So you very correctly point out the sentinel node status is a key staging parameter in melanoma, and in fact, in the current day and age, it's been demonstrated that patients who have stage 3 disease, including patients who have a positive sentinel node, if they're given adjuvant drug therapy, including immunotherapy with anti-PD-1 inhibitors, that reduces the chances of their disease coming back by 50%. So sentinel node status is really critical in melanoma. Excellent. Not just for prognosis, but actually is actioned now as considering adjuvant drug therapy for melanoma patients.
So everything you mentioned makes sense and is intuitive, right? If you're mounting an immune response, you expect those patients to do better, and hence the premise of the immune check inhibitors. But you had a surprising finding, right? So can you share with our audience?
So the surprising finding was that in patients who had positive sentinel nodes, or indeed if they had stage 3 melanoma, if the patient also had regression, you did worse than the patients who had stage 3 melanoma, so melanoma that had spread to their lymph nodes, who didn't have regression. They did better. So as you point out, George, it's not intuitive. You wouldn't expect to, if regression is a favorable prognostic factor, why isn't it a favorable prognostic factor in stage 3 disease? So I don't know the answer to that question. We've got more work to do to understand it, but I think we can hypothesize what the reason might be. And I think the most likely reason is that once a tumor, if in the primary tumor setting, if you've got regression, it indicates usually that the body's immune system is effective in in controlling the melanoma. But if it's been able to break through the immune system and metastasize, only relatively few melanomas do that. And those that do it, it's picking out the ones who've got worse biology to begin with. So you've already weeded out the good melanomas who haven't metastasized. And if it's been able to break through the immune system and develop metastatic disease in the regional node field, then you're a bad melanoma, if you like. So, yeah, I think that's the most likely reason, but we don't know definitively.
Yes, we'll have to prove it and see. But, I mean, you mentioned in your discussion section in the manuscript that it's probably based on the heterogeneity. Like you said, some clones are being eradicated and the part that is regressed is working, but there are some other clones that have already escaped to metastasize, and hence seeing both is an indication that you have those kind of clones that are aggressive. And interestingly, I thought that TIL in that regard maintain its prognostic significance, which may have something to do with tolerance versus eradicating. Can you comment on
yes.
that?
Well, yeah, thanks for pointing that out. And I can put in another plug for a publication that we had it in Modern Pathology, I think at about 2017, in which we showed that TILS infiltrates in patients who have positive sentinel nodes is a strong predictor of favorable outcome.
And this supported it. You found that again here, even in stage 3. Very interesting. So it's not as simple as it sounds, but at least if you don't have lymph node mets, having TIL and or regression is a great news and predicts a lower sentinel lymph node rate of positivity.
I just wanted to point out that, you know, this idea that melanoma clinicians and pathologists have recognized the importance of the immune system in melanoma for a long time, and researchers have worked for decades to try and work out how they can harness the body's immune system to improve outcomes, basically to develop systemic drug therapies that are effective. And drugs have been tried for decades and hadn't been effective until really the work that led on to Jim Allison and his colleague's name, well, not his colleague, but the other gentleman from Japan who won the Nobel Prize for their work in understanding how the immune system's control to basically develop drug therapies that can be used to improve outcomes in melanoma patients. And melanoma led the field of immunotherapy, but now it's really taken off on many different cancer types. That it's been defined, my colleague Georgina Long calls it the penicillin moment for cancer therapy. It's been a game changer for us in melanoma, but I think in many other cancers, renal cancer, lung cancer, head and neck cancers, and many others. So very exciting.
Indeed,
but based on
the penicillin moment for cancer. I love that.
Yeah, and based on the critical work of pathologists over the last 50 years.
Well, that's what's so exciting about our field. It's been tremendous learning opportunity and great discussion with you. And thank you for being so generous with your time, getting up at 5 o'clock in Australia to share with us. And I appreciate your support to the journal and all that you do for us. And I wish you the best.
Thank you very much, George. Fantastic to join with you. Thanks for the invitation.
Thank you.
Any opinions expressed in this podcast are the speaker's own and do not represent the views of Modern Pathology, Springer Nature, UAB, or USCAP. Your ModPath Chat host and scientific director is Dr. George Netto. Producers are Christina Crow, Amber Jackson, Dr. Sarah Jang, and Dr. Catherine Ketchum. Technical direction is provided by Kaminsky Productions, music by Mitch Neubauer. Thanks to the authors, reviewers, and editors of Modern Pathology for making this podcast possible.